Okay, the Depression began in 1929, and Granddaddy was still working in the mines, is that right?
He's still working in the mines.
And you had four children by then?
Four children. And then Francis was born during that Depression.
Was there any food around?
There wasn't any food at my house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my neighbors brought. And no work at all.
What did you do?
Well, we just done the best we could. The government was got to putting out some food and double blankets.
Uh-huh.
And things at a certain place, and me and Miss McCray would be up there the day it would open. We'd be up there by the time it opened, and we never got a piece of material to make dresses or a double blanket, neither one of them.
And you'd be there when they opened?
And be there when they opened. She'd say, "We done give out of them." And we never got a rag.
What did you do for clothes for all those kids?
I made them out of anything I had. And I'd make quilts out of anything I had, you know, to keep them warm.
Keep warm.
Because we didn't live in a good house like people has now. But the best we could do.
Well, you said that Granddaddy went to work. The government started putting out 3 days a week, road work.
Yeah, 3 days a week, road work. And that was when the president was elected, and he was a Democrat. And he put people to work 3 days a week on the road. And then it got better and better and better over the months, you know, not right off.
What did you do how did you live on $3 a week? Tell me about that.
Honey, we lived on dried peas, cornbread, and milk on what my neighbors, I told you about, would bring over there. Now, that's what we had. And I know that my children went to bed hungry. I want to tell you this funny part that if you want to hear it, to be honest. Jim, neighbor of ours over there had a lot of corn. He'd let Jim shuck corn a day or two a week and pay him in buttermilk and butter. So one night, he'd come in and I had some cornbread cooked and had a gallon of buttermilk. Well, we were four children and me and him, that gallon went pretty fast. He said, "Boy, that was good. Wish we had some more." And James is so sorry for his daddy. He got down on his little knees by the side of his chair and said, "Daddy, if you hadn't eat that all up, you would still have it." He was so sorry for us.
Were any of your kids in school during the Depression, or were they?
James and Kirsten and Evelyn.
And Evelyn was good. How did the schools operate during the Depression? Were they on regular hours?
Yes, they were on regular hours. I don't know how the government must have had something.
Had something to do with it.
And my children would have things to fix for their lunch, you know. And they did have lunches at school at that time. And sometimes mine would have money to buy eggs and that thing. They'd run down that hill. There's a big steep hill down from the school downtown. And run down there, and whatever I had to cook, well, that's what we do.
So it wasn't like they were given lunches at school. You still had to buy them, even though the Depression
was going on. Yeah, and we just didn't have money to give to the children. And I tell you, I've seen my children. We had bad snow back then.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen my children climb that hill. hill to the schoolhouse when there's snow on the ground, and they have to tie their shoes on their feet with a little sweater on. Mm-hmm.
That must have been hard as a mother.
I have cried till I didn't have no more tears to cry on account of my children. Not for men, but for my children.
But then things got, once we got a Democrat in the White House, things started getting better.
It got to getting better. That's when they began to give them 3 days on the road. And then it just, over the months, it was getting a little better and a little better, you see, till they got to working 5 days a week, $1 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we saved up enough to buy us a Jersey cow, and we thought we was in hot.
Oh, I'm sure you do. But how did you save anything on feed?
Well, honey, we could use it every year. And but we just got to thinking we could put back $1 a week, and after a while save up enough to buy us a milk cow.
You remember how much the cow cost you?
$52. And he had enough left, we had enough left over to buy 100 pound of cow feed.
And that was still in Altoona, right?
It was still in Altoona, and we were living in a three-room house.
With five kids,
mm-hmm.
And you and Granddad.
And me and Granddad. Well, one evening, you might not want to tell this.
That's it.
But one evening, Paul Kilgo and his family, they had four children.
Mm-hmm.
We had four children. And I had two beds in one room and a kitchen and a little side room.
Uh-huh.
As all of us at the house in the front room.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had had pneumonia, and they'd gone to Mr. Kilgo's to stay till he recuperated.
Mm-hmm.
And one Sunday evening, Mr. Kilgo brought all of them to my house. And I was expecting any minute to
go to
Francis.
Francis.
And Jim followed his daddy out and said, "Daddy, you come and pick him up in the morning."
Mm-hmm.
Said, "Rosa's expecting that baby in a minute." And that night, they was Paul and his family on one bed, me and my family on the other bed. Now you can imagine legs across.
Uh-huh.
And he come and picked him up about dinner time the next morning. And Francis was born Thursday morning about 7 o'clock.
Why did he bring all them to your house?
Honey,
he didn't want to be bothered with.
He didn't want to feed them no longer.
Now, this is during the Depression, so nobody's got any food.
Mm-hmm.
So he brings six other people to your house.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there was six of us.
Uh-huh.
And I just had two beds, didn't have no room for another. And we all slept, our family slept on two beds.
I don't see how you do that.
Well, I'll tell you right now that Jim kept a big fire in the fireplace all night. I didn't have a lot of cover. And kept a big fire in the fireplace all night that night. And Mr. Kilgo didn't come and get him till dinner time. And he said, "Well, I thought that they would have dinner before and it'd get warmer to come and get him." Well, he come and got them, but he carried them right on home. He didn't
take them back to his house. He didn't really want to be bothered with any of it, did he?
No, he didn't.
Like making crops to feed his own family, or?
Or anything like that. Not absolutely.
So when Granddaddy went to work at Republic Steel for $1.50 an hour, y'all must have felt rich.
Oh, we did. We thought we was on a cloud
nine. Uh-huh.
And Brenda, we're so used to not having just anything that we needed. Now, the government put out, after the Democrats got in office, he put out got men that worked, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just think, well, we had to do without a lot of things during the Depression that we really needed for our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll save up enough and get us a milk cow and meat. And enough to buy 100 pounds of beef.
Well, when did you move to Abilene?
Well, we moved when he got a job in the steel plant. We moved on 6th Street in the house.
Uh-huh.
And Shirley was born there. And I don't know how long we lived there. I believe she's 3 years old. And he found this place out at Abilene. And we moved out there, and there was big glass windows,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one of them was out in the kitchen. My youngins had run across that house and out that window. They thought they was in paradise in a big house.
I'm sure.
And let me tell you something. We lived there 1 year, rented the place 1 year,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Haggard
sold
the place. Uh-huh. And I lived there 39 years, raised every one of our children from there on. Shirley was nearly 3 years old.
And y'all had a garden out there,
mm-hmm.
and pigs, because I remember Mom talking about staying home because it was hog killing time.
Yeah, yeah.
But Granddaddy worked at Republic the whole time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was mainly you working the
yeah.
garden.
That's right. I worked the garden. And we had one of these old push mowers, you know,
mm-hmm.
that you had to, didn't have no motor in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd cut the yards, and I'd work the garden, and then we had a pretty good corn patch out at the back of the chicken house, you know. And I'd work that corn. And I'm telling you what's back. Of course, I wasn't getting no money for that, but I was trying to help raise something for our family.
And then once you raised it, you canned it.
I canned it, and I didn't have a freezer at that
uh-huh.
time. And then we got to buying yearlings and putting them in the pasture and fattening them up and carried them to Albuquerque and having them butchered and
mm-hmm.
cut up in different pieces. And we bought a big old freezer out on the back porch,
mm-hmm.
you know, and put that in there. And I'd can everything that was in that garden. I know I got my sister one day to come,
mm-hmm.
Daisy, to come and help me pick beans and fix them to can for the next day. We'd pick washed.
When did you ever sleep?
Honey, I've been pressing my children's clothes at 11 o'clock at night from where to school in the wintertime, at where to school the next day. I just didn't get no rest. Hardly be up at 5 o'clock or before 5
mm-hmm.
to fix breakfast and get Jim off to work. And then I fix as high as 5 lunches each morning
mm-hmm.
for the kids. And Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd work till about 12 o'clock, and I'd go in and put on a big pot of green beans or dried beans or something, and then for supper,
mm-hmm.
you see. And Brenda, it was that day in and day out, day in. Now, when the children in the summertime were making the garden, the children wasn't in school, but the little rascals were down on the creek fishing.
So it wasn't like they were doing a whole lot of help around the garden.
That's right.
Well, I don't remember you ever sitting down to eat a meal. I can remember you standing at the stove and walking around the table, putting more green beans in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever sit down and eat a meal the whole time they were growing up?
I don't think I ever did. If it was at breakfast time.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time I was fixing lunches in the wintertime
mm-hmm.
now for them while they was eating, so they could catch a bus, you know. And Granddaddy'd go off to work. And If I ever sat down at the table, it would be at breakfast time, but it's very seldom.
That you do things.
And I'd eat a bite, you know, going around doing this. So one day, James come in and he said, "Mama, hon, don't put no mustard on my tomato sandwich anymore."
I'm sure you did get confused about what you were doing.
I get confused, and I think one would want one thing, you know, and one another. Now trying to think out
who wanted what,
where to put it in. I might have put mustard on his tomato sandwich.
That doesn't sound real good.